The Minnesota Rundown, presented by 10,000 Takes. Hello, everybody. Welcome back to another episode of the Minnesota Rundown, presented by 10,000 Takes. I'm, of course, JJ Journalist Jake, your host of this wonderful program. I want to welcome on our two guests this week for the Rundown to battle it off and brawl it out in this week's, you know, I would say prevalent or relevant Minnesota sports topics and beyond. I want to welcome on our guest outside of 10K, Erin Lowry. I got that name correct. If you don't know who she is, well, I'm sure if you follow the Minnesota Wild and you see other fantastic social media content, especially on Twitter, she runs that. So, I mean, that is amazing. That is awesome. And we really appreciate you coming on the Rundown.
That is really high praise. Thank you very much for having me. That was a great intro.
Yeah, no, you deserve it. I mean, so do you just run the Twitter, or do you run all social media platforms?
It's all me right now. We're hoping to expand eventually, but yeah, it's a lot. So Twitter's me, Instagram's me, TikTok, kind of a little bit of everything, but we do have a, you know, content team that helps us with video content and that, but mostly all the words, that's me. So if you get a tweet back, it's likely from me.
Yeah, we know that we're interacting. Our Twitter 10K Takes is always interacting. We're always getting the bit flowing around, and yeah, it's a good bit. And so Wild social media is a good bit. You're running a good bit there with the Wild. So we appreciate the work you do and presenting us, you know, great content outside of just what's on the ice, you know, on social media. So we're happy you could join us on the program. And of course, you'll be going up against our very own here at 10K, AJ Murphy, also known as, his alias is Age, as you might see it on our website at 10ktakesmn.com. If you do read our blogs, if you haven't, go there now and start reading them, because Age, writes some fantastic blogs here at 10,000 Takes here at 10K. I think one of your more recent blogs was about you tried every chicken sandwich.
Yes.
From the top fast food chains.
Yes. Yep.
And that was a fantastic written blog. It was very entertaining. I mean, I know we don't maybe want to spoil anything, but what was your favorite? What was your top chicken sandwich? What
My
was your most favorite
chicken
one?
Sandwich? It was close, but I had to hand it to Popeyes.
Popeyes.
Yep.
Okay. Mm. Popeyes chicken is damn good.
Yep. And then I had people in the mentions. They were like, come try this random place off Robert Street in St. Paul. They have a dang good chicken sandwich. And I'm like, this is fast food.
This is top fast food.
We might
chains.
Have to expand now.
This is not, maybe you could do local. Maybe you could do a.
I mean, that would take me all summer, but
you could
I'd do it.
You could do like a challenger or a bit, I should say.
That's, yes.
For the bit. Where you go around, try different chicken sandwiches or different food. That was kind of like the abandoned project of what Bubba did for the food challenge. Well, semi-abandoned, because he still kind of does it, but he wanted to do some touring roadshow thing where he did a bunch of challenges and that didn't really pan out. Now he wants to go to do a 10,000 Takes Vegas. So we'll see how that goes. But
good old Bubba.
Good old Bubba. He's an interesting person indeed, but this isn't the Bubba program. This is the Minnesota Rundown, so we don't have to keep dwelling on him.
Again.
He finds his way in some way.
I was going to say, I'm always waiting for the Bubba comment. It always comes in.
Oh, dude. He'll maybe be tweeting about this podcast. Like, why are you guys always talking about me? I don't know. You just calm down.
It just happened.
I want to see the business plan for 10,000 Takes Vegas, and then we can go from there, which he says he's making, by the way. So we'll see how that goes.
Yeah.
But anyway, we want to thank you both for coming on. I do want to say, like I do every week, you know, if you do feel inclined and feel impressed by any of these arguments or points made by either any of the people that come on the Rundown in this case this week, both AJ or Erin, you can definitely vote on a poll that we're going to put and attach to any post related to this week's Minnesota Rundown episode on Twitter. It'll either be Erin Lowry or our very own AJ Murphy. And you can go from there. I mean, if you don't want to vote, you don't have to vote, but it kind of adds a little fun,
oh, yeah,
you know, fun to it. And last week, high stakes, man. There's everything going on here, man. And last week we had Alex Micheletti and our very own Jack Kiewicz on. Alex Micheletti, of course, the son of North Star and former Gopher Pat Micheletti. He did win the poll last week over our very own Jack Kiewicz, who was one of our bloggers. I believe it was like 63% to 37%. So he just crushed him, even though Yeah, but everybody did good. You know, we don't decide winners here. We just have fun. If you had fun, you won, right? Like, we're in second grade, whatever. But yeah, like we do every week, we'll kind of dive into topics relevant to Minnesota sports and maybe a little bit beyond, and we'll give you both your turn to talk about it and discuss these topics for all four of these that we have today. So let's jump right into it. Enough of the banter. So first question up, last Friday night, I was very thrown off by this when I saw it, but the Twins' our very own, William Zastadil, the Turtle, or La Tortuga, I think it is, came out and pitched. And I know the Twins were down 10-3, but I was still shocked. He allowed no runs. I mean, what do you both think of all this? What the hell, why the hell was he pitching? And is he onto something in maybe changing the way we pitch in terms of pitching slower? I don't know. Aaron, what are your thoughts on this?
Yeah, little known fact about me, before the Wild, I worked for the Tampa Bay Rays, and I watched a lot of baseball, so I can say that position player pitching is quite honestly the most hilarious thing in baseball. I find it to be great content. I think that the Cut 4 account with MLB has kind of honed in on the hilarity of that, and I personally think it's good for baseball. I think you know, clearly it kind of can speed up the ending of a game that very clearly needs to end. So, and then additionally, it kind of shows that player also adds value in a different way that they may not traditionally have shown if they, you know, hop on the pitching mound. So I'm here for it.
AJ, what do you think of the whole situation?
I am here for it as well. To a certain extent, it was a little bit unnerving to see him like on the mound. I mean, 46 miles an hour, that was beautiful. And I think the batters were thrown off. Like, they were like, do we swing? Like, if anyone was up there and they, like, knew that, like, okay, this is not a normal pitcher. He's not going to throw the gas. He's not going to throw us a four-seam in the corner where I don't want it. You know, we can unload right here. And they just, like, stood there and they were like, So I think maybe it could work to, like, a certain extent. You know, like, maybe, like, a pinch pitcher. We could start doing that.
Right.
And just like throw someone in there to like throw off like, you know, the round and like, you know, I don't know. It was really interesting. I feel like, you know, he's a big dude. So if he like learned how to like throw it and got the mechanics down, I feel like he could put some gas on.
He could be like Bartolo Colon part two.
Literally, like that's what his build is.
Let's turn him into a pitcher. Let's turn him into Bartolo Colon. I mean that if I was a batter, I'd be like, is this a joke? Or I mean, dude, I was at the bar watching that. Okay, so I had been drinking a little bit, so I thought I was like hallucinating, and I don't know. I'm like, what was in my drink? But I'm like, I was just waiting for the second for like just an Angels player to just completely smoke a ball off of him. But like they made good contact, but there was like a 1-2-3 inning. I'm like, is he onto something? Are we onto like? Something new in baseball, the slow pitch? Like,
in the bullpen. I like it.
This is like full backyard baseball mode, right?
Literally.
It's like you take a guy who can play third, every position, you just throw him on the mound and see what happens. It was insane. But he's already such a fun player to watch. He's already like a very, you know, he's a utility player. They put him everywhere. And just to see him on the mound was just so weird, but also I'm like, afterwards I'm like, wow,
yeah,
they got to do this more often. I mean, satisfying. I mean, did you, well, Aaron, you mentioned you had worked for the Tampa Bay Rays previously. Did you ever, how often did you see this happen?
Well, the Rays had, you know, a very interesting pitching staff when I was there, and so every once in a while they would have to, you know, they'd go through all of their pitchers and they'd have to, you know, throw somebody in. And so I will say that there are guys who definitely cannot be position players pitching. Like, I watched Carlos Gomez throw like a ball essentially into the dugout of the other team. So I think it does take some skill for them to actually be a position player pitching. And so I think it just shows their additional value. And like I said before.
Yeah, I think it adds to the legend of the Turtle. I mean, it's absolutely. Just it, to his lore.
He truly,
I don't know. I had already like, this guy's awesome. He's just fun to watch and all that, and just his hustle and his speed. And then you see him on the mound, I'm like, this is kind of caps off his legacy with the Twins. And the thing is, he's already, you know, he's still young. He's, I mean, who knows how long he's going to be here. I mean, it's just insane.
That clip last week of him like going for the foul ball in the snow with his hat in one hand and then the glove in the other, and then he just totally missed it. And I was like, that would be me if I played catcher, like right now, if you put me on the Twins.
Well, it's funny too, because I think he was are you referring to an instance when he was playing catcher or playing first base?
I think it was catcher.
I don't know
exactly if he was wearing all the gear. I don't remember the full bit.
So I saw a video of him the other week where I was watching the game, I think, where he literally went over to try to field the foul ball, but he was playing first base and he took off his hat.
I think that was
while
it.
He went over to
I think that was it.
To grab the ball, like, and they were sitting there, the commentators like Dick Bramer and Justin Morneau were like, why did he take off his hat? I don't know if he's just used to playing catcher and just taking off his helmet.
Yeah, that's probably what it was, muscle memory.
So it was just insane seeing him on the mound. It just adds to his legend or his legacy. And the way and speaking of just how brutal, I mean, the Twins actually were off for like 2 or 3 days. I think they're actually now playing a doubleheader as we're recording this Tuesday night. But their relief pitching just has been, it's just been dog shit. So, I mean, and now Astudillo comes in, a non-established pitcher. It was just funny to see him actually do well 1-2-3 inning when some of our established, quote-unquote, established pitchers can't even get an out. So I think that was definitely something, a sight to see. It was insane. A good thing you guys were probably not at, I mean, you guys are probably not at a bar when you saw that happen. So you guys were like kind of sober seeing it, like you could soak it. Yeah. And I was just thought I was tripping, man.
That would be quite a sight to see if you were under the influence. So I totally get your mystery,
The questioning of it.
Yeah, exactly.
The mystery. It was just mysterious. I mean, do you guys have any other thoughts on that before we move on? Because I think that was just kind of a loaded thing to happen, but it was just odd, I should say.
Yeah.
That's all I could really say about that. I mean,
I think they should play him everywhere. Play him in all the positions this year. Why not?
Throw him in the outfield.
Yeah. He's the what is it? Taysom Hill of the MLB. Which is probably people are going
to
get pissed.
Compared to Taysom Hill.
Yeah, people are like, oh, you don't Taysom Hill and don't compare. It's like, shut up. He's the gadget, go-go gadget pitch or shortstop, whatever, you name it. But yeah, moving on from baseball, I know this will be, I mean, probably both your alleys, but especially for Erin, with the Minnesota Wild. I wonder why that she would be knowledgeable on this. Oh, I don't know. But yeah, she's around them like almost every day. I mean, it consumes her life right now being the social media person for the Wild. But Money Puck, which is kind of a big site on odds for specifically with hockey and NHL, well, they give the Minnesota Wild a 99.99% chance of making the playoffs. I'd say that's a pretty damn good odds, I should say. So if that truly is the case, which they're looking very good to make the playoffs, I mean, how far do you see this team making it in the playoffs? I mean, reminder, I mean, they have made the postseason the last 7 of 8 years, counting the, I think technically they don't count last year's bubble since it was a play-in series that didn't count as a playoffs, but I'm going to count it in this case. You know, I think they made the postseason the last 7 or 8 years and only got out of the first round twice. So realistically, I mean, I know they're exceeding expectations as far as, from a fan standpoint, they're fun to watch, but I think we do all hope as Minnesota fans, like we always do when a team is in the postseason, that they can do something. But do you foresee this team actually making a run, or what do you see in this? AJ, what do you think?
This is interesting because I have faith in the Wild, but you got to get there first. And looking at it, like, first round, we're going to have to play either Vegas
or Colorado.
Colorado Avalanche. I feel better about Vegas, but not great. Avalanche, I'm like, okay. Exactly. But, like, things have been coming around. And, you don't really know, like, where to, like, measure them at because, like, the divisions have been so weird. It's either, like, you've been beating up on, like, the Sharks and the Coyotes, or it's like, Vegas? So it's like, it's kind of a mixed bag. So I feel like once we get to the playoffs, we're really going to see who this team is and like how they play when their back's against the wall. But I feel good. I'm going to ride the ship. I'm going to ride the momentum. I feel like we could do something as long as we make it out that first round
And anything's possible.
Yeah, absolutely. Anything is possible.
Well, Aaron, I'm curious to see what your thoughts are on this. You're around this team almost every day. What do you think?
I feel like I have to take the very like Homer opinion here and just say we're going to go to the Cup because that's just who I am. I think that, you know, obviously as somebody who works around the team, I have a lot of confidence in this group. And I think that, you know, seeing the same teams over and over and over again this year is obviously going to make the actual, like when the divisions meet up, it's going to be really interesting to see how this all plays out. But I definitely think that if we are matched up against the Golden Knights in our first round, we will probably do pretty well. If we're matched up against the Avalanche, it may not go as well, just kind of how the season has gone. So I think that if they get the Golden Knights first and we win, then we have a really good chance against the Avalanche, just getting that confidence and kind of getting us there. And then if we win against the Avalanche, we're going to win the Cup this year.
So you're calling it now. If we somehow beat Colorado in that second round, we win the Cup.
Feels right. Yeah, I like it.
That's insane. Well, the thing is, we're that's a very hot take. The takes are not cold here, by the way. And you were worried that you're going to have some dumb takes, but that's not a dumb. Well, some people might rail you for it, but I mean, that's definitely a hot take. When you say a Minnesota team is going to win a championship when they're doing okay, I mean, it's not dumb, but I mean, it's some people say it's crazy, but I mean, it's. I'm trying to think though, who so. I mean, I can look it up too quick, but in terms of the standings, so the Wild are, it's untraditional this year. Usually they'd be in the Central Division with the Blackhawks and the Stars, and now they're in a different division from the Wild. But I'm thinking usually the Wild, they wouldn't, well, I think there would be a chance they would play a team like Vegas, you know, in a regular setup, but the chances are definitely more likely now this year with a different standing setup, a different division, that they could play a team like Vegas. And for whatever reason, the Wild have just had Vegas's number since they've joined the league. Mm-hmm. I don't know what it is. And if the Wild, like you guys are saying with momentum, and, you know, I could ride on that momentum and go with it that they might do something if they play Vegas in the first round and they have that confidence and go play Colorado. It's not Chicago, am I right?
Mm-hmm. Nope. Yep, we don't want them.
We don't.
It's and I was just going to look at the divisions here because I was scared because more if the Wild were to, and it's a big if, you know, if they do make it out of the first round and then do make it out of the second round, they would have to play the winner. I believe it would be the Central Division. Out of that, I believe so. It would be the Central Division. And right now, the Blackhawks are out of a playoff spot, and they look like they're probably not going to make it. Definitely not going to make it. Actually, or no,
they're buried.
They're 4 points behind the Predators for that last spot. So
there's a chance.
There's a chance.
So you're saying there's.
I'm saying there's a chance that potentially we could. I'm telling you, there's some. I don't care how much momentum the Wild have. If they have to go play the Blackhawks for whatever reason in a conference final, I'd be terrified.
Brick wall. It's like they're our Yankees.
Exactly. That's what we always say, right? I mean, they're literally the Yankees to the Wild. I think the 2 years that they made it out of the first round, like I mentioned, they've only made it out of the first round twice in the last decade. They had to play the freaking Chicago Blackhawks. It's so damn annoying.
The reason I feel more confident about it this year is because of Vegas and Colorado's odds of winning the Cup. And so I feel like if we take down both of them, we have a really good chance of winning the Cup. So, and then Blackhawks don't make it at all.
Yeah, I'm hoping they're confident. I'm hoping they don't make it out of that, even make the playoffs or looking like they're not. But hey, I like I said, I think it'd be terrifying to play Colorado in the first round because their depth and their players are just unreal on the ice, and having to play them in a first round would be, I don't know, I wouldn't say a disaster, but it'd be really rough. But Golden Knights, we just have a number. We have their number, and you just got to ride the momentum and see what's hot. Are you, I kind of asked this question last week to the two people that were on, but it's probably dumb to say that Kirill Kaprizov cannot win the Calder because, oh, he's 23 years old. What kind of argument is that?
It's not an argument.
It's a bad one. It's a bad
argument. That's all you...
Yeah.
And you don't even need to go into it further. It's just a shitty argument.
It's his first year in the NHL, and that's that. That's what the requirement is, so...
Yep.
There you go. That,
That's all it is. And we want to shout out, too, that it is also today it is Nick Bonino's birthday.
Oh, wow.
As we're recording this, the Tuesday, it's Chris release on a Wednesday. But I don't know. Should I do it?
I feel like you have to do it.
Yeah. Bonino, 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 Bonino. There we go. We got it out of my system. But
great.
Go, Nick Bonino. Go wild. That. It's become a habit at this point.
Every time,
it's,
I love it.
It's great pretty
bit.
Bad.
It's a great bit. It's your bit.
It's a good bit. It's my bit. It's a good bit. But again, the Minute Money Puck has the Wild at really good chance of making the playoffs. Just decent odds. I'd say 99, almost 100%. It's okay.
Can't say quite 100.
Can't say quite 100. So there's a 0.01% chance they will not make it or something. But they're looking good, and hopefully they don't disappoint us and can. Maybe make a run. We'll see what happens. But moving on from the Minnesota Wild, next thing up I wanted to discuss is in recent months with Gopher basketball program, they just hired Ben Johnson, new head coach. He was a Xavier assistant, but of course he has ties to Minnesota, strong ties, knows a lot of AAU programs, a lot of connections in state where we've struggled to really capture a lot of, like we were just talking hockey. They say we're a state of hockey, but you know, we're a big basketball state with some really great talent. Chet Holmgren was the number one recruit out of Minnesota. He went to Gonzaga. We still have really no chance of getting him because Ben Johnson is so new to the Gophers. But I will say that, you know, a lot of when Richard Pitino got fired, a lot of guys transferred out, a lot of top players, you know, transferred out, a lot of big players. But now Ben Johnson's coming here to building up his own roster. And with the eligibility the NCAA gave players, they can now. Last year was essentially a wash, and now they can play one more year. So you have the transfer portal is just loaded with players. And now Ben Johnson is building up a roster. And more recently, he just got Parker Fox. He was like the best Division II player in all of college basketball. He's from Minnesota, and he just committed to the Gophers. He's just one of a few commits he got actually from the transfer portal. He's got Jamison Battle, who's from George Washington, I believe, but he played at De La Salle. He was a top player. We've got EJ Stevens from Loyola, I think, or Loyola Marymount or something, and Luke Lowe, et cetera, these big guys. You don't have to really know who these guys are, but they're just bigger top transfer players. And I, while some, like I mentioned, some top players transferred out, like a Gabe Kelscher, Liam Robbins, ever since, and Jamal Mashburn, who was heavily recruited by Richard Pitino, which makes sense. How do you think this roster is going to pan out next season? I hear people saying that they're going to be really good. He's built up a great roster, but then it's also like they're a new roster. And I know, Aaron, I think you went to the U.
Sure did. Go Gophers.
Go Gophers. So, regardless, I guess, of how closely we follow the basketball, I mean, I'm sure you followed this a little bit of the storyline. What do you think and what are your initial thoughts on Ben Johnson's initial roster as he's building it out?
Yeah. One thing that I will say is that Minnesotans love Minnesota and Minnesotans. And so I think that having him hired and having him coming back to coach at the U is a really great decision. And I think that I don't follow college basketball super closely, but I do think that just having all of his connections from his time, I think he was even at De La Salle for a little bit. And so I just think that having that connection, there's just something about that loyalty with Minnesotans that they really buy into that. And so regardless, I think this year will probably end up being a transition year just with COVID and, like you said, the transfer portal. But yeah, I have high hopes for him. I hope that he does well. And we all always like to see Minnesotans succeed.
Bring us to the promised land, the Final Four, which you haven't done since 97, but it was vacated. So this is annoying.
We don't want to talk about it.
You look at me like you didn't know that, AJ.
I did not know that. No, I didn't.
Yeah, so the Gopher basketball, they made it. What's crazy, too, is my dad actually documented that whole year. He made a scrapbook about it. I should make a video about it, actually.
That'd
at some
cool.
point on.
Yeah.
My dad has it back at my parents' place. But no, it was a really cool year. But unfortunately, it was vacated because they had a tutor doing. This is what allegedly happened. They had a tutor doing the kids' homework, and while they're playing and stuff like that. So it had nothing to do with, like, you know, he was paying recruits or anything. Like, he dutifully and, like, generally got these recruits, and they were great players. So it had nothing to do with the basketball in itself, but. The education, he was forcing the education piece so they could be eligible to play and have a good GPA and all that, which is makes sense why we were punished. But yeah, I think he also led to Or no, wait. We went to the Elite Eight in 91, but I don't think that was vacated. I think it was everything after 93 or 94 or 95. So I think that's still intact. That's but crazy. And what's funny,
I never even knew that.
Yeah, and I went to the U of M too, and I worked with some of Gopher Athletics and basketball and stuff, and I was kind of in the basement. There's like a basement at Williams Arena. I don't know if, Aaron, if you went down there or experienced that, but mm-hmm. I just saw the banner down there because they had the banner in Williams Arena for a little bit there at the U, and right. It's really cool, but they had to take it down because it was vacated, so it was kind of crazy. So that was a side tangent on the Gopher, on their Final Four.
School yeah. still matters.
Depressing it is, but what are you, going back to the original question, AJ, what do you think on Ben Johnson and his rushing?
I think it's
going to
be a little bit of a mixed bag. It really depends on how some of these new guys come in. Like I was looking at like Parker Fox, Jameson Battle, like they look like they have a little bit of, you know,
legitness.
Some legitness. Like Parker Fox was like leaping all over, like Euro stepping and like dunking on people. I was like, all right, this is what you love to see. And then like, you know, they, of course they can spot up, shoot threes on the outside. So I think, you know, that's what more of what college basketball and just basketball in general is what it's growing into. So I think that's good. You know, a good start for Ben Johnson's tenure. I think everybody wants to see them do well. I want to see them do well because like, you know, I didn't go to the U of M. I've never really had like an affiliation. They've never been good enough really in anything besides like a couple of years ago, like with football when we won like 111 right. games where I was like, you know, oh, I love the Gophers. I'm interested. You know, like I liked, you know, like other college schools and things like that, just, you know, because they were better.
Right.
So it would be cool to like have the Gophers like consistently be good at something and like have the people, you know, the high school recruits in state, you know, want to go to the U of M and like grow this school into something bigger. So hopefully, you know, this is the start of something cool with this transfer portal really going off with COVID, you know, getting them that restart year basically.
Yeah, it's the transfer portal, I guess, is just loaded. It's just like 100% more players or something, 100% growth from last year in the amount of players or something like that. It's like insane. A lot of players in there and, you know, and it's a good thing for a new coach too, because then, you know, if you have a lot of players to transfer out, you know, you have more players to pick from a transfer portal that have immediate eligibility instead of waiting on trying to pick up some true freshmen really quick and lower recruits or guys that need more development. You got developed players you're bringing in. But if you had to go on a limb, I mean, you guys can be quick on this answer, but do you see Ben Johnson leading the Gophers to an NCAA tournament berth in his first year?
I could see it.
It's a loaded question, but I mean, just based off, you know,
he would have to get through the Big Ten, and I don't know what it's going to look like next year.
Yeah, because a lot of teams are going to be different, because,
right?
But if you had to go out on a limb,
if I had to go on a limb,
AJ,
I'm going to say yes. I'm going to say yes.
Okay.
You know what? Why not? You know, I give him trust. You know, go Gophers. I really don't know what to say. I mean, you know, you got to have hope.
Go Gophers. Aaron, how do you feel? Do you feel the same way?
I, you know, just to be opposite, I'm going to say no. I think just COVID.
You're being realistic.
Yeah, I think I'm going to just stay true to, you know, I lived through some pretty bad Gopher years when I was at the U. So it hurts and it feels right. So I think this year is probably not going to be the year, but I have a little more confidence later down the road.
Well, I feel that answer. Like I am combined with both of yours attitudes. Like I have the attitude of AJ where I'm like, you know what? He's building up he is building up an experienced roster and all this. And like, yes, go to the tournament. So if we're in Vegas next year, we can see him there and everything. But then I'm with Aaron where it's like my realistic part of my brain where it's like, you got to be a little realistic here. You know, you got to be a little pessimistic. It is Minnesota's new thing.
Minnesota realism.
That, you know, that should be in the dictionary. I mean, seriously,
put on a t-shirt.
Yeah, Minnesota realism. Like you gotta just be realistic and come to terms with things and not get to your head. But I feel that though, especially with Gopher basketball. I mean, it's when I was there, I think we didn't even make the tournament when I was there. I mean, there were some every year That's was tough. Brutal. It was brutal. I mean, they went there the year after I graduated in 18. And they went in 2019, and I went down there to Des Moines. It was awesome, but I'm like, well, I kind of wish I was here as a student just one last year. But right. And the football team inevitably did well, of course, you know, really well 2 years after I graduated almost. So it's annoying. But no, we're especially like me, like Aaron, me and people like Aaron who went to the U of M, you're really involved in those sports regardless. You're not escaping them. You know, you're part of the fandom, and even if they're good or bad, you're going with them. So
ride or die,
row the boat, go Gophers. Got to be elite, but we'll see what Ben Johnson does. I was very a little skeptical as he is when he came on. You know, he's just been an assistant. I've gone off on my thoughts on those in the past, so I won't go into that. But we'll see what happens. I wish only for the best. But another team that we've obviously lost hopes on, you know, when it comes to the NFL and football, is the Vikings. I'm here in Minnesota. But we'll see what happens this coming year. We can always look forward to the NFL draft because it's always something new with it. And the NFL draft, is coming up next week. I think it's next Thursday. Yeah, we're getting there, just about a little over a week away. You know, it's exciting, it's fun, and so I guess I want to ask you both, what is the, I mean, and this can go. Not even just with the Vikings. It's kind of a two-part question. I mean, but just overall, I mean, at a national level, I mean, what is the craziest move or pick you want to see or think will happen? And I guess, and then realistically, what do you think the Vikings, who do you think they should draft? And I mean, should they realistically go after a quarterback in the first round? I've heard some speculation, but I mean, what are your thoughts on all of that, AJ? I'll let you go first. You're kind of the Vikings guy, you know, written some crazy blogs. The Vikings guy.
Yeah, absolutely. Just to kind of take it in like a bigger scope, talking about the whole league, things are going to get really interesting once we get to three. The 49ers basically sold three first round picks to move up to three to get a quarterback, and then, you know, there's been things now that they could get Mac Jones. Now those things have kind of come back down to earth because people are like, what? That's not who you move up for. And that would be a huge, huge mistake if they move up for Mac Jones, because you're basically getting kind of not straight up, but kind of a Garoppolo 2.0. You need a guy that's going to make those throws. I feel like Trey Lance and Justin Fields will be one of those guys. I feel like they need to move up for him. Certainly, I feel like one of those guys could slip. Depends on like the offensive lineman, like Penei Sewell. I want him so bad, but we're just too far back. Same with Rashawn Slater. Like if we could get Rashawn Slater, that would be amazing. But, you know, it's really going to be interesting to see like what happens with these quarterbacks. Kyle Pitts at four, what the Falcons do. Do they get a quarterback? Do they decide to stick with, you know, getting the best position player on the board and just kind of going? Because they, you know, Matt Ryan still has some legs, so it'll be interesting to see how the board falls. And there's always like one team where they're like, no, we want to choose this person that's kind of way down here. And it kind of just shakes up the whole thing.
They want to be like, I'm finding the hidden gem.
Yeah, you know? That's been the Raiders literally the last 2 years. They picked just like random people like out of nowhere, like Clelin Ferrell and then Damon Arnett last year. Like in the past two rounds, they've just been like kind of random picks. So hopefully that means good news for the Vikings. I really hope, and this is wishful thinking, Justin Fields in purple, that would be absolutely beautiful. And, you know, he would have to sit behind Kirk for a couple of years, but Kirk is going to, you know, that guaranteed number is going to be up there. In like a year or two, I think it's like at least 35, 37 mil. We're not paying that. We're just not. So I feel like a move has to be made at some point with a quarterback. You know, why not have it be now when you can get one of these guys that could be groundbreaking? But if we can get an offensive lineman or one of these killer defensive linemen, I'd be happy too.
Yeah, well, that's pretty loaded with the Justin Fields thing. I think a lot of people go after you for that, but
no. So why would they go after me? We need a guy.
I don't know. Hey, just because
this is who you wanted,
because
right?
Because you have to draft him early, higher up, and people are like, no, we need a lineman or a cornerback and all that. Yeah,
one
you're
or
doing
the other. Like, you have to do something. You have to get the guy early, or you have to go pay him. You can't just find a guy on the street and give him $53 for a game. That's not going to work. That's right. What Vikings Twitter thinks that we can do is just like find a guy off the street and then pay him nothing and think he'll take him to the Super Bowl. Case Keenum. That's not a thing. You have to get a young guy that can do something, or you have to pay a guy big bucks.
Yeah. I mean, we'll see, but I was going to say Vikings Twitter is very toxic. So they make almost toxic. No sense, but Aaron, what are your thoughts on the whole draft coming up?
Toxic Twitter. I don't know anything about that.
No, you don't.
No, I don't. I love Wild Twitter. They're the best. Yeah. So I know significantly less about the NFL and honestly about the draft, but I'm of the opinion that I think that sometimes drafts are way too premeditated and that we just need to have something crazy. So literally the only thing that I know about the NFL draft is that that Lawrence guy from, I think it's
Trevor Lawrence.
Trevor Lawrence, yes.
Clemson, yep.
He's supposed to be number one. I think he should go lower. Why not? I think that
Jacksonville Jaguars. Apparently I say it weird, but
yeah, they're going to pick someone else. But I do think that, the Vikings probably need to go after a quarterback. I think, we've seen kind of, you know, how, when you pay a quarterback a lot of money, it takes away from certain other areas that you may need to pay people for. So, I think that, like you said, drafting somebody young and having them develop within your system is the way to go. So I think the Vikings should go after a quarterback.
Well, yeah. As early as the first round or just in general?
Yes.
First Why round not? Quarterback.
Why not?
What is the Vikings pick? Is it like 12?
14.
Oh, all right. So, and they would probably need to, if they wanted to get someone like Fields, they would probably have
they
to
get
They
would probably
him.
Have to jump up unless if he took a meteoric fall down that board, which honestly could happen because, like, there's not really anybody in between. Like, once you get to Denver at 9, then it's like, okay, you're good. Like, you could, like, wait it out and just, like, get him at 14. Rick's not going to move up because that's way opposite of his DNA. He likes to flip those picks for those late round players that don't stick around. So he's
Trevor
not going to move up.
Dropping. Trevor Lawrence to the Vikings.
Trevor Lawrence, tank
that
for
would
Trevor.
Be insane.
That was the whole thing, tank for Trevor.
Yeah, well, that was a huge thing, like early October.
Yeah. Well, dude, it was a thing in the first week for multiple teams. It's like you, and some people were serious. Like, it's like, you need to stop. And I'm like,
yeah.
I'm the kind of guy, I mean, is it kind of set in stone? Like, the chances, is it Trevor probably going to go first overall? Is that more than likely going to happen?
Oh, absolutely.
Because
there's no way that he does.
There's
no way that he doesn't.
You know,
I can put that on everything.
I'm just the kind of person where I'm when it comes to the draft and NFL, and I'm just not the kind of person that's high on the number one overall guy that's overhyped and overtalked. I just feel like it's going to turn into Trevor Lawrence is going to be, I have a crazy feeling he's going to be a dud. He's going to be overrated, and he's going to turn into like a Ryan Leaf or something.
That is a steaming hot take.
Yeah, hey, steaming. That's what we're here. So I think I agree with Aaron that you know what, he shouldn't be drafted first, because you know what, you know who I've seen that I've been really impressed with?
Who?
Zach Wilson.
Yes,
he is. You know what?
Yes,
Jacksonville, just get him. He's the BYU quarterback, right?
Yep. Yeah,
this guy. I don't know if you've seen it, Aaron, but I would just look up a few videos if you haven't. He's just—he's a cannon. He has a cannon on his arm.
Yeah, that throw at his pro day where he like went—he was like rolling out to his left, went across his body, flipped it around, and threw it like 55 yards. Like,
that was insane.
Maybe he could go number one. Maybe you guys are onto something.
I mean, the takes are hot here, man. I mean,
steamy.
And I'm a big Kirk guy. I think a lot of people know that.
Oh, absolutely.
And you can be for getting a quarterback in the first round before Kirk, you know, just because we're like, you had a good point about, you know, right, not going to pay that. So might as well just have a quarterback to work behind him and have your starting quarterback in a couple years if Kirk ends up not working out in the end, or we have to get rid of him or whatever. Hey, but if we got Zach Wilson, you know, that's the one quarterback in the draft where I'm like, you know what, sit Kirk, let's play Zach. That's probably, people would still shit on me for that take.
Yeah.
But you know what? He's just stellar. And Trey Lance has looked okay. He's kind of the guy where I'm like, ugh. When he's NDSU, that turns me off. Or JV football compared to the Gophers. You know, whatever. But Trevor, he might do well. I'm just never big on the whole number one overall pick kind of thing. And they usually do really well. Look at Kyler Murray. He's doing fantastic.
Absolutely.
And then who was last year's owner? Joe Burrow, right?
Oh,
and he looked great before his injury.
Yeah.
I might sound like an idiot, but sometimes it just doesn't pan out. And there's something about Trevor Lawrence, maybe because I'm just irritated by how he looks. I hate his damn hair. And he walks in.
Looks like
and,
a country boy.
Yeah. Yeah. But he looks like a wannabe country boy, though.
Is it the long hair?
What?
Is it the long hair that you that just like throws you off?
He looks like he grooms his hair for like 3 hours in the morning.
Well, he probably has to because it looks.
But if he's a country boy, you just let it go. You wake up and let it go, man.
I mean, I don't know.
That's he's not a country TV, boy.
SEC. He has some luscious locks.
He does. He does. He does have good hair. Maybe I'm just secretly jealous. But although I don't want to grow my hair out that long, so I just don't think that's the case. I was
gonna say you got to train a lock like that up. You got to train. That's some hair.
You do. I mean, I got to give it to him. It is pretty damn impressive, but it's just it's kind of annoying. But we'll see. Hopefully, there is a shakeup. I like seeing those shakeups at the drafts, and maybe he doesn't get drafted number one overall. Maybe the I just think with Rick Spielman and how Zimmer is, I just don't see a quarterback in the first round. I think they're going to go to a defensive guy. And that's just how it is, you know, but I did see a mock draft where we drafted the Arkansas quarterback in the sixth round. Okay. I didn't even recognize his name. I don't know if you would know that. Let me see if I can.
I don't know if I know. There's a ton of other quarterbacks that could be good guys. Kyle Trask, Florida.
Davis Mills
is a guy that's getting a lot of looks. He could be more of like a mid round, like third, fourth. Davis Mills from Stanford.
Oh, here he is. Felipe Franks.
Oh,
Felipe
I've heard of
Franks.
Him. Okay.
We were saying, I saw a mock draft. We were getting, this guy looks like a fucking crazy dude. He's not a tank. He's got, on the picture I'm looking at, he looks like he's almost bloodied up and dirty and like he had a rough game and he has an arm tattoo. You know what? Yeah, I'm all for this dude. Yep. Get him on. He looks like a badass.
He's gritty.
Maybe he should go number one overall.
New Tom Brady.
He might be the new T Brady
in the rough.
But no, he looks we'll see what happens if that mock draft goes
in. Calling it.
Yeah, Felipe Franks, he's going number one overall. We're calling it now. And we're going to be the only quote unquote media podcast that we're the best journalists. So, you know, if he does go number one overall, that would be actually pretty insane. But no, that he looks like a badass, but we'll see if the draft gets shaken up, see what the Vikings do, and see what happens with the rest of the league, too, because everybody's tuning in, and we'll see what happens. But that pretty much does it for all the questions I had for you both. It was fantastic, great thoughts. You know, the takes, there's no dumb takes here. They were all great. They were fantastic. Some people might think they're dumb, but, you know, that's... If you're getting hate for your takes, that means it's a hot take.
Absolutely.
Right?
You got to go out on a limb.
So... But I mean, before we kind of wrap this thing up, do any of you have any final thoughts about anything?
I just really hope that the Wild can do something. I know we touched on that earlier.
No, by all means, keep going
on.
They're
not like the biggest hope, but like the Wolves.
The Minnesota teams.
Yes, of the Minnesota teams, like the core four, like the Wolves. Oh my God, like, are we going to keep that pick? I'm so scared that we're not going to keep that pick, and then the Warriors are going to be loaded, and it's just going to run it back, and I'm just going to... Mm-hmm. Anyway, but the Wild, you know, we want to get that going. We want to have someone that's, like, actually, like, consistently good. Like, even if we don't win the Cup, like, even a trip to, like, the West Finals, I'd be like, okay, this is progress. So, you know, hopefully they can do something and just bring us some hope. It's been a crazy year. Plus for everybody in Minnesota with everything going on. So I feel like some of that stuff with sports, you know, sports is always like a great thing that brings everybody together. So I feel like, you know, if the Wild can do something and if the Twins can get their act together, get their shit together, start pitching better, that there can be some brighter days ahead in the Twin Cities.
Well, then that's the deal. See what happens.
Yes.
Aaron, you got any final words?
I love the Wild support. I think that is spot on. Honestly, watching Kirill Kaprizov this year has been really, really exciting. And I hope that we can play hockey for a really long time. Personally, once the Wild are done, I'm really excited to go to Target Field and have beer and watch a baseball game because it's been a very, very long time since I've done that. So, let's break up the Minnesota pain. We need some good things happening in the state.
We need one team, and going off AJ's point, you know, it's all personally growing up, it's always been the Wild where I have the most hope in. It fluctuates between them and the Twins, and then sometimes the Vikings. If there's like a chart where it showed my internal confidence levels over the years, like evolving, Wild would always be probably at the top more. But we always get let down by them a lot too. So it's yeah. I'm just, but they are the team we have the most confident in. So let's do something. And I need to get out to a Twins game too, or an event of some sort again, because I'm just dying for it. And I'm hoping us 10K guys can get out there at some point.
Yeah, that would be so fun.
Yeah, we're trying to do something. Get Bubba out there. I think he's wants
hot dog eating contest.
Dude, he's gonna eat so many damn hot dogs.
There's Bubba comment again.
Yeah, no, he's a beast. I'm telling you, Dollar Dog Night. I went to a game with him a few years back. Holy shit, he was it was insane. But you can eat a lot. But yeah, we'll make a whole thing out of that too, a whole bit out of it. So
the Dollar Dog bit,
the Dollar Dog bit. But again, guys, we want to thank you for tuning in. We want to thank both AJ Murphy and Aaron Lowry, of course, the social media leader, I should say, of the Minnesota Wild, Twitter, Instagram, wherever any content you see. You know, on game days, game nights, it's her running the whole show, puts out great stuff. And again, if you want to vote and you feel like someone had better thoughts, better arguments or whatever, and you want to vote, you can vote for either Aaron or AJ here. Just find any post related to this week's Minnesota Rundown on our Twitter. There should be a reply there with a poll. You can go ahead and vote there as well. And guys, also, and like I said, you know, AJ Murphy, Age is one of our fantastic bloggers. You can read all of our great blogs by all of our bloggers on our website at 10ktakesmn.com. We even have some shirts left with the old, I should say. We branded to a new logo, but we have some ones with the old logo as well. And kind of a breaking news thing, we did change our Twitter handle to @10k_takes. So it's not 10ktakesmn anymore, even though if you search that, you'll probably find us. But just want to put that out there. If you want to follow us on Twitter, it's 10k @10k_takes. But also Instagram, we're on Facebook, 10,000 takes, 10K takes, TikTok, we're on 10K takes. Follow us on everywhere. And yeah, and if you guys want to plug your own personal Twitters as well.
AJ Murphy 763. My Twitter and Instagram. You know, I don't post on Instagram that much because I'm self-conscious.
No, you're fine.
On camera. But my Twitter is getting more active lately. I've been trying. So yes, please Perfect. Follow me.
Then Aaron, I know you got your own Twitter out there too.
Yes, I am @AaronLowry_. And then also a shameless plug to follow the Wild, because why not?
Yeah, you pretty much own like two Twitter accounts right now. And one is just powerful on social
main,
media.
Main is a lot.
with the Wild. So, well, we want to thank you both for coming on. We want to thank you guys for tuning in to another episode of the Minnesota Rundown. I'm of course JJ, journalist Jake, because I got that name because I'm the best damn journalist to ever do it, until I'm not, because I'm not the best journalist until I am, though. So it's a conundrum. So anyway, guys, thanks for listening in. Have a good week, everybody.